political situation. Militarism as a solution to problems is becoming obviously impossible. The only thing it can do is multiply the miseries, tragedies, and pain of humanity. Somebody has to solve it, and there's no reason why a solution is not possible. After all, there are enough people in the world to get along together so that these things are not necessary. They are done because of special profits to privileged groups of people. They are here because they always have been, and that makes it necessary. They are here because we haven't the strength to change, and we haven't the willingness to make adjustments in our own personal lives. Now, in our field of activity especially, there are certain recommendations that seem to suggest themselves. People come to me all the time with their problems. Most of these people that come here and come to me are good people. They are people who want to do the right thing. Some of them, however, don't have the strength to do it. They don't have the ability to rise above painful and difficult relationships with each other. They are not able to stand the prospect of pain or disappointment or disillusionment. Therefore, they cling to the little fallacies which they feel have made life possible for them. Actually, most of these people need a kind of refresher course in how to live, because there are things that we can all do reasonably and moderately to be helpful. One of the first things that the individual has to realize is the importance of being a citizen of a civilization. Citizenship, in the ultimate, is the most important of all factors, because in the codes of citizenship, it is assumed that the individual who is the citizen of a country or a community assumes his share of the responsibility for the success and integrity of this community or country. He is here to protect the values of the citizenship which he attains, or which he is born with. In antiquity, people were not usually born citizens. They had to earn citizenship. We gain it as part of our heredity. But we have to realize that citizenship is something that is more than merely the privilege of living in an area and abusing its values and corrupting its integrities. This is something that has to be learned by the hard way. And most people don't really want to do wrong. They don't really want to. They don't think it's wrong. They don't think it's wrong to do what everybody else is doing. And with this kind of pattern, it gradually spreads over the entire community. But there are very much danger signals. The black birds seem to be coming back to roost under the eaves. The difficulties we have caused are returning to us. The mistakes that we are making hurt us now instead of somebody else. And the great patterns by which we have tried to live have obviously become impossible. Now, presuming that we go on for another 100 years, approximately the way we are now, what is we going to have? People are beginning to think of that now. We've been thinking of how much better we were than the past, but not now. We begin to think of whether or not we're good enough to survive into the future. Here we have practically every natural resource exploited and corrupted. A large part of this corruption is for military ends, and the other is for the maintenance of the profit system. These two become the great despoilers of the planet. We are despoiling it in every way possible. We are now struggling with the problem of nuclear waste, for example. And among nuclear waste, we have all kinds of other things. We have all kinds of acids and toxins and insecticides and everything you can think of pouring into our streams, rivers, and oceans. This can't go on forever. and yet nobody seems to be willing to get along without it. And the great cry that goes up when you talk about this is that if we don't do these things, there'll be no profit. We won't have and make any money. And even more intimately important to the labor unions, we'll have no employment for them. Employment depends upon following processes, apparently, that destroy people. Employment depends upon the corruption of the planet. Employment depends upon a heartless competition. Without it, these people won't work. And it's going to be very hard to get people to vote themselves into unemployment. So all these things tie together in patterns which the human being does not know how to break through. He does not know how to change these things, which he knows should be changed, but can see no way of making these changes without desolating himself and perhaps his entire community. Well, this seems the way it is, but that's why we're building up this particular problem. There is going to be the time, and it's not too far off, when we are not going to be able to do some of these things. That we are not going to be able to have so many cars we can't move on the highway. We're not going to be able to have so much of everything that there's a glut on the market, that one after another great corporations go bankrupt from competition alone. All these things are moving forward. Gradually, every day, we read of something that is falling apart. Now, let us assume for a moment that supposing we were sick, supposing we are suffering from arthritis or kidney trouble or something of that nature, and each day we feel a little worse. And, of course, we don't want to change our eating habits because we're accustomed to those, so we feel a little worse. Then we find that we're having a nervous tension with our relatives. Well, nervous tensions arise, nothing you can do about it, so we're going to feel a little worse. Then we discover they pass some new rules that are throwing a tax on us more than we ever paid before. We feel a little worse. Also, we sit down for an evening of entertainment and we feel a lot worse. So we go along and we get feeling badly, but we see nothing we can do about it. So finally we go and buy a couple of bottles of diet pills or something and think we're struggling with virtues. But as we go along, you feel a little worse. And after a long time of this feeling a little worse, someone said we should go to the doctor and see about it. No, we don't want to do that. That's the last thing in the world we want to do, because he's going to give us a lot of pills. And he's also going to give us a bill that will stop us in our tracks. So we don't want to do that. Now, the doctor in this case would be a consideration of the values and facts of life. So, but we keep on getting sicker and sicker. And finally, we have to have a doctor. And the doctor tells us that we do what we should do, or we don't survive. And if we come too late, we're not going to get well anyway. So we gradually find humanity is like this. It's feeling a little worse all the time. But it doesn't want to talk about what to do about it, because this would interfere with something. And after all, we have another problem that we have to face, and that is no matter how well we live, we're not going to last forever anyway. So all these things add up to a great status, a great status, and we are going to suffer anyway. But this is not really what's happening. Things are a little worse every day, and more people are beginning to think about it. And as it gets a little further along, and we get into more trouble, one of these days, if we're a good democratic people, we're a democracy, we're going to vote against the things that are causing these problems. And we may discover to our amazement that we have more power than we think we have. There are none of these problems that cannot be cured. But in order to cure them, we've got to be intelligent, honest, constructive-minded, and optimistic inside, with a strong faith in a divine plan working behind all of us. with this type of background, we can survive better. We won't have to go to the doctor so often. And faith can be a kind of mental healing that really works. Integrity is a standard of living that helps normalcy of function. And as the human body will respond to decent treatment, so the world will respond to a decent method of management in which things can be done as they should be done. All of this nightmare that we have passed through since the beginning of history is a series of bad dreams based upon the mistakes that we have cherished and maintained and defended to the bitter end. Millions have given their lives on the battlefield to maintain false doctrines. Now we've got to begin to stand up and live to take care of good ones and see that they get fulfilled. It is one thing for a person to die for a conviction, but it is more important to civilization that he stands up and lives for a conviction and does the things that are necessary. We have, it would seem, about another 10 years before this thing is going to get pretty bad. In the meantime, we can all start taking care of the problem. We can start with ourselves. We can start by making every possible effort to protect the integrities of our own relationships in life. And we're going to find that in the next 4 or 5 years, a great many organizations are going to arise to protect that point of view. We're going to begin to be more critical of how we spend our money. We're going to be more critical of the quality of merchandise and labor that we have. We are going to be more willing to work a little harder ourselves instead of allowing other people to exploit us. We are gradually going to also realize the power that the individual has in the reformation of his community, the power of being right in the first place, and gradually withdrawing his contracts and contacts with things that are wrong. He will finally become capable of measuring a good product when he sees it. He will not be fooled and deceived into constant extravagance for things that he doesn't need. He is not going to be what Will Rogers referred to on one occasion as the man who drove his way to the poorhouse in a brand new Cadillac. We are not going to do the things we're doing. Look around us and we'll find riotous spending, spending that is based on desperation, desperate trying to forget the integrities which we don't want to apply. We're going to find that this great era of reckless spending is going to work itself out, and we're going to be in problems with the need for economy. We have lost all sense of common sense. We are in a confusion. Psychologically, I think we would be described as the most successful neurotics in the world. And that this generation is the generation of the great psychosis, that there's never been anything just like it. There's never been a time when everybody was unhappy over something. In the older days, people felt that unhappiness was the privilege of the great, and common people lived happily together if they could. Now we realize that becoming uncommon people with more than we need, we simply become unhappy all the time. And the whole problem is the fact that we insist on doing everything to accumulate wealth, when in reality what we should be doing is supporting integrity. That wealth seems to be the only answer. But wealth is buying less and less every day. It is costing more and more to waste than it ever did before. It's not producing the ends that we think it's producing. It's not doing for us what we hope it could do. It is simply prolonging the agony of drifting into bankruptcy. So we should be the leaders in this particular field of endeavor. We should be trying with the very best that we have to keep the rules of the inner life. Now, to keep the rules of the inner life, do we have to break the rules of the outer life? No. We don't have to break the rules of society because we want to live above the level of the common mistakes. all we have to do is be as honest as we can. No one really is going to object to it much. If there's anyone who is penalized for honesty, it'll be the honest person anyway, not somebody else. And if he is willing to be penalized in the cause of something bigger than himself, the world is not going to treat him too badly. We are going to find that it is perfectly possible to live within the structure of law and order, and at the same time live above the literal interpretation of such concepts. There's no reason why we should say that the criminal law is wrong, but we can live above it. In order to get mixed up in it, you have to be a criminal. This way we can do what we can to live the life of an intelligent, honorable, integrated person. If we have any problems that need special care, we can always have counseling. But counseling, for the most part, except in exceptional cases, is not necessary. We can sit down and have a heart-to-heart talk with ourselves and get the best counseling there is. Because the individual down inside of his own nature, if he keeps quiet and thinks about it, he knows when he does wrong. He knows when he is not doing what he should be doing as a member of society. Now, the peer group problem has been one in the sphere of education that has been very troublesome. The young people are following the peer group. They are being corrupted simply because corruption is fashionable and is an indication of liberation from bondage to common sense, which is the problem that they are all suffering from. This peer group is always in trouble. The members of it become drug addicts. They become hopelessly involved in immorality. They lose all hope of any education or integrity. They're not even interested in it. And so this whole generation of young people is drifting to trouble. So last week we mentioned the idea of reincarnation being involved in some of these things, and karma. And the answer to that problem is very definite. These young people who are getting themselves into desperate difficulties are learning whether they want to or not. And the idea that they are destroying themselves has to be subject to philosophical interpretation. We may destroy our body. We may kill ourselves. We may drink ourselves to death. But we do not die. Every one of the excesses and abuses becomes part of a karmic body of realizations and realities. And in spite of every mistake we make and every tragedy we get into, we are ultimately, inevitably immortal and will revive the values that we need. But we're going to do it the hard way. We're going to have a lot of suffering. We're going to have a lot of young people who don't know what to do about it. And we're going to have a group of elders who don't know what to do with it either. But if society rises in its proper attitude of construction, if we get values working, if we get into education ideas that educate rather than merely school for employment, if we get into religion and for a more honorable attitude towards the daily needs of life and get into the labor unions more honesty, we can gradually change all of this. But the only way we're going to change is because we reach a point where we can't stand it any longer. The idea of the better person joyously going on to be still better is wonderful, but not common. But the individual who can't stand the problem, who can't continue, is going to become a hopeless member of society. And the very exploiters who are exploiting the public will have nothing left to exploit. They will have destroyed the very exploitation fields which they have developed. I think Mr. Nostradamus is probably pretty nearly right. Within the next 15 or 20 years, there may be a great leap into the future, a leap that is encouraged and sustained, not by writing, not by motion pictures, not by television, but by the average person seeing for himself and being unable to deny the absolute need for change. he's going to realize that he can't take it himself any longer. When the other people were taking it, and he wasn't, he was comparatively secure in his own thinking. But when he becomes one of those who can't make it either, we will see changes. Now, we are finding changes in some places that are resulting in very grave military and criminal actions. We are finding revolutions and tyrannies and terrorists. All of them are byproducts of a series of building up of mistakes. But the actual answer to the problem is that they also, to a large degree, are supported and sustained by false values. Values which induce fanaticism or cupidity or ambition or resentment or revenge. All of these negative emotions. As the conditions clear, there will be no need for this. Little by little, the individual will realize that there is no real use in all this violence. When integrity, when honor and right thinking constitutes the peer group, when the leaders and those most admired are those who live the best, you will find their great ambition to improve, a great determination to do better with ourselves and with life around us. Now, one thing that we as persons, I think, must gradually outgrow is this constant negativeness that is coming up more and more among people, a sense of futility, a sense of constant fear, the question as to who will be the first to use the bomb type of thinking. We have to get out of this entirely. We have to realize that in nature, there is no major disaster as far as the great truths of life are concerned. The individual can destroy a false way of life, but he cannot destroy life. He may damage his career as a material person, but the divine purpose for which he was intended cannot be damaged. There is not enough corruption in all the world to corrupt one honest person. He must have weaknesses in himself. He must be vulnerable to false attitudes. He must be in some way enslaved in the pattern which is causing his trouble. I think that you're going to see in the next few years a tremendous increase of insights. You're going to see a complete revision of education, which is foundation upon idealism rather than materialism. We're going to find that mechanization is going to gradually wear itself out. We're going to find that the individual who is hoping constantly, finally, to invent something to think for him, will in the end find that if he makes it, it won't agree with him. If he ever makes anything that really thinks, he will be ashamed of himself. All of these great changes, this tremendous congestion, this constant exploitation, every day a newspaper article of a plane going down, of another terrorist outbreak, of a great volcanic eruption. And a few days ago, I heard through a friend of mine who I've been interested in for some time of the terrible fact that the little pygmies of Africa are now being confronted with the bubonic plague. There will be plagues, there will be pestilences, until we stop causing them. And the only way we can stop causing them is to develop and perfect a decency in ourselves, which is strong enough to carry us through, and to prevent other people from suffering as a result of mistakes which we also cooperate with. Now, you may say, well, what are we supposed to do all about this? How are we supposed to do anything? Well, the first thing to do is to choose more critically and with more thoughtfulness any affiliations and associations that we make, to be sure that to the best of our ability we are supporting morally and otherwise that which has the greatest good for the greatest number. That also that we are not thinking any more constantly of our own feelings or our own personal attitudes, that wherever we have a feeling that is negative or destructive, we are going to overcome and transform it. The transmutation of negation in ourselves is important. The transformation of all the prejudices that we have is important. That make a desperate and sincere effort to heal the wounds between members of families and groups. That we are also going to do all that is possible to strengthen the home and in this way protect children. That the individual who is the adult and the leader and the master of the peer group of his own family or her own family is not consciously and deliberately contributing to the delinquency of the young in order to have greater fun, pleasure, or freedom for themselves. All of the responsibilities of life must be restored, and it must be regarded as the final indication of a truly superior person, that as Confucius said, they are above an inferior action. It is something that we can all work on to the best of our ability, getting rid of the glumness of it all and realizing that this is the great challenge, the one big opportunity in life in which we can be all that we possibly can be. That we are being challenged to grow, and that to the degree that we lag and refuse to grow, it is not only our own future, but the future of humanity that is at stake. We can become more economical, we can be less wasteful, we can be less hypocritical. In other words, there's a great possibility that what nature had in its mind in the first place is to produce the one immortal race, the one immortal civilization, the great social unit of all, in which there is no friction, no crime, no poverty, and no unreasonable ambitions. That we are going to do what we were intended to do, take the garden that was given to us in the beginning, be good gardeners, enjoy it, that we are going to have pleasant relations with each other, and the tyrannies and pressures and dishonesty of competition and exploitation will just simply not be there. And when they stop, we have lost nothing except pain. When we stop making the mistakes, we gain in the values. The human body is suffering from this. Every time another corruption breaks on society, somebody gets ulcers. Every time there is a destructive motion in society, the whole body of humanity becomes ill. And this is something that we can do little things about. We can't make the great major changes, that's true. But we can try to put our personal lives in order and realize that if we are right, there is nothing in the universe that can break us or wants to. If we are right, we are safe. And even if the world gets in a very bad condition, worse than it is now, if we are right, we are safe. We are right because rightness is that which survives. And we are assured in the scriptures that the just person shall not be moved. And around us is a world of persons striving for justice and not knowing how to get it. But if we are true to the principles that we believe in, nothing can really damage us. We can have certain physical difficulties, but they are all less and unimportant in comparison to the great security that we have as individuals of dedicated integrities. So if we want to get into this new age that's coming, and want our children to get into a new world in which competition and war and hate and crime will gradually be buried with the other sins of the past, we can help to do this. There can be no victory now in war. And even this fact is suspending war. If there was any possibility of a single country being magnificently victorious, we'd have had it already. But nobody can win. And now there's nobody who wants to be the first loser. And no one wants to come to inherit or conquer nothing but a graveyard. So the very evil itself is stopping itself, preventing itself. And as we go along, becoming a little wiser, because we are facing in more and smaller ways, like nuclear leakage and things of this nature, or we're trying to pour it into some ocean with a full realization that in due time it'll kill all the fish. All this is becoming ridiculous. We are painting ourselves into oblivion. And there is so much good in us and so much good in the world that we can't afford to throw it all away. And in order not to throw it away, we've got to get solidly behind true progress. And in every action that we make, every purchase that we make, every relationship that we set up will be carefully considered in terms of its integrities. And that in that way, we can gradually weed out honesty. If the peer group in the world is honest, the rest of the world will follow suit. And if integrities and proper religion, proper philosophy, proper arts and sciences, in their proper relationships, make better people, we'll all be for them and we'll support them. But if they continue to exploit us, we have a right to decline to be exploited. So in a sense, it seems to me that civilization does begin with us. We have gone through a number of different relative stages of barbarism. We are in the midst of a magnificent tyranny. Now, the putting it together into a safe pattern for us all is with us right now. The evidence is now so strong that it can no longer be questioned. And there is no longer on this planet any place to escape to and build a new world closer to our heart's desire. There is no longer a possibility of a utopia except that the whole world shall become a utopia. And that was what Nostradamus believed was going to happen. We were going to fight and fuss and fume a little longer and gradually wake up some morning and realize that we are suffering not so much from tyranny as from just old-fashioned stupidity. That we look at facts and refuse to see them. And we allow a few private prejudices or a little cupidity of our own to endanger the survival of a great motion in nature. Well, the motion is going to go on, whether whatever we do, but our relationship with it can be very difficult unless we move with it. If we support it, carry it forward, dedicate ourselves to that which is obviously right, we won't have too much trouble. We will have a pretty fair time. But if we keep on thinking of nothing but our own selfishness, or lose all moral control of our own children, or allow narcotics to take over, then we are going to find nature doesn't like us anymore. And first thing you know, she'll do what she has done before. She will shake another civilization from her back. We don't want that to happen. But of course, if we adjust and the civilization goes, we'll be standing there probably, with not much company. But if we are right, we will survive. The question always is to be right. And the faster we get right, the quicker the world conditions will improve. But watch now, look around you, and see how definitely the changes are coming. We are waking up. We are waking up from a sleep not of a few years in our own country, but the sleep of ages. We have lived for centuries in a nightmare of selfishness arising from the delinquencies of an unconditioned and unevolved inner life. But we are now waking up. There is a little glimmer. The nightmare is gradually lifting. And one of these days we're going to open our eyes and see that we have been living all the time in a beautiful world which we have simply refused to recognize or had not had the ability to see through the miasma of our own neurosis. So in a little way, we're going to be all right. But let's get started at it before we have to suffer anymore. And let every thoughtful person support in every way they can wherever something is done that is obviously right. that is right for not for profit, not for praise, not for gain, but right for the survival of human values, and right for the reestablishment of the universal and divine plan in the management of human affairs. Let us protect religion from exploitation. Let's protect science from the disappointments and tragedies with which it is faced. Let education educate. Let economics be a servant of public need and not a basis of exploitation. And let politics be a leader in the improvement of life. And let those who rule nations and rule communities rule from the standpoint of the same dedication that Confucius recognized and authorized, and which we find clearly stated in the New Testament. Let us build a way toward this better life for all of us, in harmony with the great good that we know, the greatest truth that we have ever been able to have, and the deep realization in ourselves that the ultimate good of humanity lies in the recognition of the brotherhood of all that lives. Well, that's it, folks.